This program is brought to you by Emory University.
This book report is brought to you by Emory Report.
My name is Shalom Goldman. I teach at Emory University in Atlanta. I'm the professor of Hebrew and Middle Eastern Studies. And my new book is Zeal for Zion, Jews, Christians, and the Idea of the Promised Land. We think of Zionism as a Jewish political cause, one to which an occasional, quote, righteous Gentile might have lent support. The standard presentations of Zionism, whether written by its proponents or opponents, serve to reinforce this view. They enumerate and describe the movement's Jewish founders, supporters, and adversaries. If there is diversity in these descriptions, it is in the descriptions of the variety of opinions held by Jewish Zionists and Jewish non-Zionists in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. For the most part, Christians do not feature in this narrative except as antagonists. For it was implicit in Zionism's self-understanding that Christian anti-Semitism generated the need for a Jewish state as a refuge from persecution. Once that state came into being, Jews separated from Christians could live free and independent lives. Histories of Zionism therefore focus on the Jewish proponents of Jewish territorial nationalism and the unity that Jews achieved through support of Zionism. Zeal for Zion, in contrast, makes the case for a wider and more inclusive history, one that takes the Christian involvement with Zionism into account. Zeal for Zion tells the story of Christian engagement with Zionism through six narratives set in the 19th and 20th century. Each is framed around political, cultural, and religious interaction between Christian Zionists and Jewish Zionists. Central to all forms of Zionism, both Jewish and Christian, is the idea of the Promised Land. Within the narratives of the Hebrew Bible, God's promise to Abraham that his seed will inherit Canaan is fulfilled in the settlement and conquest of Canaan by the tribes of Israel. The scholarly consensus is that the Israelites entered Canaan about 1200 BC. Israel's long sojourn in the land was interrupted by the Assyrian exile of the inhabitants of the northern kingdom. That was in 722 BC. And these exiles, the 10 lost tribes of Israel, were never to return. And by the Babylonian exile of the people of the southern kingdom of Judah in 586 BC. It was during the Babylonian invasion that the first temple of Jerusalem was destroyed. Under the Persian conquerors of Babylon, some of these Judeans returned in 500 BC and built the second temple. The prophets of the Hebrew Bible spoke of a future time when all of the exiles, both those of the north, Israel, and those of the south, Judah, would be reunited in a rebuilt Zion. With the Roman destruction of the temple and the city in 70 AD, the Jews again went into exile. In the rabbinic tradition, the cycle of exile and return was understood as a divinely ordained cycle of reward and punishment. The destructions of Jerusalem and its temple were therefore read as the consequences of Israel's sins. According to the rabbis, the first temple was destroyed because the Hebrew people engaged in idolatry, murder, and sexual license. Concerning the Roman destruction of the second temple, the Talmud focuses on less dramatic but equally serious infractions of the law. The Jews of that period were driven by factionalism and, quote, hatred of brother for brother. To illustrate the situation, the Talmud tells the story of Kamtza and Bar Kamtza, the men of Jerusalem whose bitter feud precipitated the fall of the city. It was their mutual enmity that turned brother against brother and brought the Romans to intervene in an ongoing feud between the Jewish factions. The dire and unexpected consequence was the destruction of Jerusalem and its temple and the subsequent exile.
The preceding program is copyrighted by Emory University. Please visit us at emory.edu.